Three of the four Gospels have Christmas stories in them. Mark's does not. John has a Christmas story that contains none of what we typically associate with the Christian Christmas message. No manger, no shepherds, no wise men, no stars, but rather a poem, and it begins like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Has not, apparently never will, John's Christmas story says. Every family has their share of catchphrases, slogans, something somebody once said years ago, what Uncle Walter said to Aunt Dagny when this happened or that, and the phrase catches on. And any time the stars line up or the circumstances are similar, somebody says what Uncle Walter used to say to Aunt Dagny or Cousin Junior or what. Every family's got a half a dozen or so of those catchphrases or slogans. And our family's got a new one. We were watching the kids open presents on the webcam over Christmas. And somebody handed our four-year-old a present. And he opened it up, pulled off the wrapping, and held it up. And he said, "What is it?" And somebody off camera said, "It's a box." And Logan went, "Thank you for the box." So, guess what everybody else said as soon as they opened a present? What is it? "Thank you for the box." That's our new catchphrase. Thank you for the box. And of course, if you're a kid, especially if you're a small kid, I mean, there's something even oddly ironic about a toddler getting a box of something. Great big Toys R Us kind of toy that they're happy to play in the box as much as play with the toy. And there's a sense in which when you're given a box, before you open it, you do know that someone who loves you gave you something they hope you'll like. And you can shake it, or you can weigh it, or you can guess, or turn it, and you'll get an inkling of what is in the box, an inkling of what's behind the present, an inkling of why the person loves you who gave it to you. And that's about as far as I think anybody got with the Christmas present of the first Christmas. I wonder what the players in the first Christmas story would have put into a thank you note, for example, if they had been able to express gratitude to God for the gift of Jesus or the event that they participated in. I suspect maybe the wise men might have said, "Thank you for the astronomy lesson." These were scholars in their own way. They saw the new star, followed it, found the baby. Maybe one of them wrote up a new scholarly paper on the appearance of the star and how it worked and how it fit in with the rest of what they knew navigation-wise, maybe got tenure at Egyptian University that year. Who knows? Thank you for the astronomy lesson was part of, just part of, the Christmas story for the wise men. Shepherd's thank you note might have been, "Thank you for the music. I expect out abiding in the fields, not much going on. No satellite television. Not much entertainment. Cell phones don't work out abiding in the fields. Thank you for the music of the angels and the heavenly host," was part of their Christmas celebration. They came and saw the baby and sort of got the idea, but maybe theirs was "Thank you for the music," heralding part of the story. I bet Joseph's thank you note might have said, "Thank you for the, well, thank you for the barn and the manger. At least we had that much." Joseph's official title in the Christian tradition is Guardian of Our Lord. not father of our Lord, but guardian of our Lord, a job that he apparently took very seriously and took on with some trepidation and some social scandal connected with it. And I expect that he was mighty glad to have had a building and a place where he could stand watch, stand guard. I bet you Mary was grateful to get off that donkey, don't you think? Long trip. Great with child. I don't know what her thank you note might have read, other than expressing a sentiment that only one who is one with the one to whom she has given birth can know. A private kind of thank you for this child. And beyond that, I don't much get it. Which is kind of like getting a box that you're not quite sure what's in it, and maybe you aren't even ready to open. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, right ahead of his famous love poem, "For now we see through the glass darkly. We see in the mirror dimly." We don't fully get it. We don't get the full meaning and implication of the Christmas story of the gift of Jesus. But we can thank him nonetheless. We can offer thanks for what we do get, that there's more yet to unfold, which is maybe the sentiment for being on the precipice of another year. I think if I were to thank God for God's Christmas gift to me and to all of us, I might echo what Mary might have said. Thank you for the baby. Thank you for the baby. Because that's all we have. It's all we know. Now, we get a little bit about the rest of the story of Jesus' next 33 years and sort of what it means for his having gone to the cross and the empty tomb and all of that, which we'll wait until Easter. And we know a little bit more than the shepherds and the wise men and even the parents knew in the manger, but not appreciably much when it comes to the full theological and cosmological implications of eternal salvation. We're still a long way from figuring that out. We're still shaking the box. But we've got the baby. And everybody in this room knows what it's like to hold a baby in their arms. We had something of a baby boom in this church this past year. Leah, Matthew, Aubrey. We had Aiden in our family. You've got twins on the way. And holding a baby in your arms is, well, is there anything that inspires greater hope? You know, most of us have lived more years than we will. And a lot of what were endless possibilities have come and gone. You know, we've made crossroad decisions in our lives, which means going this way by excluding the three others. Brand new baby, unlimited possibilities, hope for, well, I don't know, just hope, hope because the baby's here. The light shines in the darkness, John said. That's the essence of the Christmas gift, which we, I think, can only fully get, maybe not fully get, only partially get in metaphor. Imagine, and maybe this isn't all that difficult for some to imagine by having experienced it this season, but it's not hard to imagine because we've all been there. Imagine holding a baby in a room where there's a lit Christmas tree. And you hold the baby and you catch in the baby's eyes the lights from the tree. Different colors, different shapes. The baby catches the light of Christmas in his or her eyes. And you can't help but smile. You can't help but take a breath and feel the tension go as the child closes his eyes, as she falls asleep. You sense heavenly peace. And the light in the eyes of the child in the room with the Christmas tree is the light that shines in the darkness. It's the light that will shine onto the light and darkness of the coming year, and there will be both. We will experience what we will. in 08, as we sat a year ago imagining the experience of 07, and now we're pretty clear on what that's been. It will be categorically different, but not appreciably so. And we will experience it, blessed by the light that shines in the darkness. The light the darkness will never overcome. The light in the eyes of the baby next to the Christmas tree. Dear God, thank you for the baby. Amen.